Welcome to the Five Stones Podcast. I am BJ Stagner. We invite you to join us each episode as we focus on encouraging words and thoughts to improve your day, conquer your giants, and build your faith from the Word of God. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you guys are having a great day, and I hope you had a great week already. It's already Friday, which I guess we cannot believe. It's flown through here. And so we're looking forward to getting into our devotion today. And so we're going to be, if you have your Bibles, guys, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're going to be. And so go ahead and get there if you would like, and we'll get started here in a minute. I do want to thank everyone for joining us for the Five Stones Podcast devotionals. We sure enjoy doing these each week, and trust that they are a blessing. I know we try to do a couple a week, and we get them out on the podcast as well. So if you can, subscribe to our podcast. It's on Apple Podcast. It's on various others as well. We do use the Anchor platform, so you can find it through there. Also, and it's just simply called Five Stone Podcast. And maybe you're wondering why Five Stones. Well, listen to episode 1. That'll give a clear explanation of that. And it's only less than, I think, 6 to 7 minutes message that it is. Okay? So, wonderful day today. Sure enjoy being here together with you guys. And so we're looking forward to getting into what we want to understand for today. I do hope and trust everyone's had a great and wonderful week. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we are. And we're going to look at a handful of verses and break them down. Now, this is not necessarily on the heels of what we discussed the other day, but there are slight similarities to it, if you will. And so we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. The Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, and they which should live, not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we no man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, I want you to imagine this with me today. Just imagine with me this morning that there's an innocent man, one who had done absolutely no wrong whatsoever, had no evil thoughts, no deceit ever present in his life, but utter pure honesty, perfect in every way known. And I realize, among humans, this is an absolute impossibility. I get that. But there was one who took on the form of man, who was perfect in every way, who he himself knew no sin, and yet looked upon civilizations past, present, and yet future, full of sin and in the midst of despair, and was willing to stand in the place that civilization, that creation may live. Now I say live. You say, yeah, why? What does that mean, live? Wasn't they living, breathing, walking around? Not necessarily. Now, before you say, oh, this guy's kooky, he's talking about aliens. No, we're not talking about any of that. Notice in the verse with me real quick that we just read, and we first must recognize, and understand clearly today, Jesus Christ, who is that one who came and took on the form of man. The Bible tells us that he took on the form of man. He didn't come and take on the form of a king or a ruler or even God. But he walked amongst it. He suffered with mankind. He experienced everything that we did and then some on the cross and throughout life. We need to recognize that Jesus Christ died for all. A-double-L. All. That is all people, all races, all tongues, all nations, past, present, and future. He died for all sin. You are not unique. You are not special. I am not special. You are not beneath anyone else. You are not lesser than anyone else. You are not anything. God, in God's eyes, you are a soul that was created for him and by him for his goodwill, his pleasure, and he loves you. And therefore, he died for everyone, for all. All right, not a select few. He didn't die for a select nation, a select country, a select dialect. He died for you. He died for all. Matter of fact, John the Baptist said when he proclaimed, he stood there in the water, he looked, he saw Jesus walking down with his disciples. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He didn't say the sin of a certain section in a certain locale or location, or the sin of a certain time frame, or the sin of a certain dispensation. That's not what he said. What he said was to take away the sin of the world. All creation. Jesus Christ came to take away the sin of the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Okay. So he paid the price for all sin, for all people, everywhere. So we must understand and realize that our sin, my sin, your sin, has already been paid for. Paid in full, all right? In full, mind. So the next part of our verse, it says that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So that leaves us to think, well, then who are the dead? Who were dead? So what does that mean? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And again, if you don't have your Bibles out, or if you have a way to write this down, you write these notes down. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's the devil, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation." That word conversation here, 9 times out of 10, if not all the time, is referring to our conduct, how we live our life, the way we function. It's not just the way we talk, but it's the way we act, the way we live, what we do, where we do it, how we do it, when we do it, you know, public or private. Paul says in verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," and I love that statement, man. I love that phrase, "but God." Anytime you see the word "but," that changes the other side of the street, man. "But God," he changes the direction. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." That word "quicken" means to bring to life. But he clearly states there that we were dead in sin. Dead in sin we were. Dead in sin. It is the sin that made us dead. So later on in the last verse that we read, verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, "Now, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Now, let's back up just a little bit. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. Let's back up. We know that Jesus died for all. He died for all sin. He died for all mankind. He died for all races. He died for the sin of the world, past, present, and future. It is paid in slap full. Okay? But yet now in verse 17, we see this word here, "if any man be in Christ." So we see clearly that the Lord died for all. The price is paid. Yet now we see this very powerful, but such a small two-letter word known as "if." "If" is a hinge word. When you see the word "if," there's a hinge involved to it. It means that word now, this is a word that is placing the responsibility unto the ones whose sins who have been paid for to receive the free gift of payment in full. Anyone can deny a gift. It makes no sense. It's absolutely silly. It would make no purpose for you to deny a gift that someone has given to you. I don't know why, because if it's a gift, it's a gift. But guys, a gift doesn't come with strings attached. A gift is free. It costs you absolutely positively nothing. If someone gives you something and they say, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to give you this brand new, you know, Mercedes, this brand new Ferrari. Here it is. It's, you know, the tank is full. The insurance is paid for. This is yours. Here's a key. Just give me £1 or give me $1 if you're in the States." Now, that's a good deal. That's a really good deal. But that's not a gift. Salvation is not a good deal. It's a gift, my friend. It's a gift. I mean, why would someone want to pay a bill? It's already been paid for. If someone paid your restaurant bill, you're out with the family and the bill's 80, 90 pounds or $80, $90, and you go up to the till and you're ready to pay for it. They say, "You know what? The man just before you, he's paid this in full. The lady just before you, they've paid this in full." Are you going to say, "Hey, you know, by the way, no, let me go ahead and pay that bill again"? No one does that. It makes no sense. So why pay for a bill that God has already paid for? There's that hinge word "if." Jesus Christ died for all. He paid for everyone's sin. But if you will believe, all right, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, the first Gentile ever saved is an Ethiopian eunuch, okay? An Ethiopian eunuch. He is the eunuch for Candace, the queen. He's responsible for large amounts of wealth he was. He came to Jerusalem looking for the truth. He came to Jerusalem wanting to join himself with that religion. He wanted to be part of Judaism, then found out because he was a eunuch, he couldn't be part of it. Somehow he ended up with Isaiah 53, and he was reading in the chariot, and God sent Philip out there to witness to him. God sent Philip out there to expound upon the scriptures of whom Isaiah 53 was about, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the sacrificial death that he paid for mankind. And the next thing the eunuch says, verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hindereth me to be baptized? What is stopped? There's some water. I want to be baptized. And this is Philip's answer. And Philip said, if thou believest, thou believest with thine heart, thou mayest. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now we know the rest of the story. Philip commanded the chariot to halt. He went down to the water. And you got to have the right Bible to be reading that verse there. Get the truth. Truth. If you believe. Acts 16, the Philippian jailer, remarkable, tremendous story. One of the greatest churches that Paul ever planted was a church in Philippi, a church that supported missions throughout all the world. We have the gospel right here in the British Isles because of what work went on through that church of Philippi. Acts 16, verses 30 and 31, and they brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know the story. I hope that you do. The great earthquake came. The prison doors were burst asunder. The chains were torn off. And all of those prisoners could have fled. They didn't. They gathered around Paul and Silas, who had been singing hymns and praising God all night long. And that jailer came, and they're ready to kill himself. And Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he brought them out. And that jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe. He could have not believed. He said, believe. And you say, well, how does this happen? You know, there's a story that the Lord gave the disciples, Luke 18. It says, for it's easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that's not referring to the eye of a needle that you would have that you would sew with, but the eye of a needle or the needle's eye is actually what was an area that the camels would have to get down on their haunches and crawl into to get into the encasement that they would stay in the night in the villages. It was a low-hanging barrier. It was a gateway, if you will. But a camel being tall would have to get down on his haunches, and he would have to, it was a very difficult thing to do. And a camel would not do that lest it was for his own master. That's why they could leave the camels in there at night and not worry about anyone stealing them, because he wasn't getting on his haunches and going through that work lest it was for his master. So it was not an impossibility. The Lord's saying it's not an impossibility. So when the disciples heard this, they said, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus simply said, these things which are impossible with men are possible with God. My friend, they are made possible by the perfect one who died for our sins, who gave his life willingly for you and I. So therefore, we see in our opening verse, the love of God, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The constraint of Christ's love for what he did on the cross of Calvary for us is what should drive us to him, to live for him, who was once dead in trespass and sin and now made unto life. We should not live unto ourselves, but live unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We spent too many years living for ourselves. We spent too many years living for what pleases us and making a mess of our own lives. Now we should be living for him. You don't love God because you choose to love God. We love him because he first loved us. John said that. We love him because he first loved us. Beloved, he loved us first, therefore we have the ability to love him. So I ask you this question today. Will you exercise your love for Christ today? If you're a believer this morning, listen to this. Will you exercise your life fully and faithfully for him? Will you simply believe? Will you today, who are dead in trespass and sin, will you believe and become a believer in Christ? Be made alive again by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that simple. It is that simple today. Because the sins have been paid for. It's done and dusted, man. He's already paid for them. All you have to do now is to believe on Jesus Christ. Now, if you have questions today, or if you're struggling with what has been said today and you can't quite wrap your head around that, shoot me a line. I will do all that I can do to help you along the way to understand fully and faithfully that Jesus Christ died for you because he loved you, that he paid for your sins because he loved you, and all you have to do is to believe on him, trust the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, ask him the forgiveness of sins, and he will come into your heart and save your soul for all eternity. I will do my dead level best to help expound that to you so that you may understand it more clearly today so that you can make that choice. I wish I could choose for you, but I cannot. So, beloved, believe today. Be born again. Jesus met with Nicodemus in John 3. He says, you must be born again. You must be born again. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today on the Five Stones Podcast devotionals. I hope and pray that you have a blessed and wonderful day. And again, if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're having a bit of misunderstanding, or if you are struggling in any way, shoot me a line, and I'll spend as much time as humanly possible to help you understand that you may receive the free gift of eternal life. Have a blessed day, guys. Have a wonderful rest of your Friday. Thank you so much for joining us for this week on the Five Stones Podcast. Let me invite you to subscribe and join us each week for more encouraging messages from the Word of God. We pray that you have a wonderful and blessed day.